Chapter 48. I'm thankful that I can't say from my own experience what the feelings of a gentleman may be, apostrophe said Mark, but I should have thought, sir, as a gentleman would feel a deal more uncomfortable down here than up in the fresh air, especially when the ladies and gentlemen in the after cabin know just as much about him as he does about them, and are likely to trouble their heads about him in the same proportion. I should have thought that, certainly. Apostrophe, I tell you then, apostrophe rejoined Martin, you would have thought wrong, and do think wrong. Apostrophe, very likely, sir, apostrophe said Mark, with imperturbable good temper. I often do. Apostrophe, as to lying here, apostrophe cried Martin, raising himself on his elbow, and looking angrily at his follower. Do you suppose it's a pleasure to lie here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, all the madhouses in the world, apostrophe said Mr. Tapley, couldn't produce such a maniac as the man must be who could think that. Apostrophe, then why are you forever goading and urging me to get up? Apostrophe, apostrophe asked Martin, I lie here, because I don't wish to be recognized, in the better days to which I aspire, by any purse-proud citizen, as the man who came over with him among the steerage passengers. I lie here, because I wish to conceal my circumstances and myself, and not to arrive in a new world badged and ticketed as an utterly poverty-stricken man. If I could have afforded a passage in the after cabin, I should have held up my head with the rest. As I couldn't, I hide it. Do you understand that? Apostrophe, I am very sorry, sir, apostrophe said Mark. I didn't know you took it so much to heart as this comes to. Apostrophe, of course you didn't know, apostrophe returned his master. How should you know, unless I told you? It's no trial to you, Mark, to make yourself comfortable, and to bustle about. It's as natural for you to do so under the circumstances as it is for me not to do so. Why, you don't suppose there is a living creature in this ship who can by possibility have half so much to undergo on board of her as I have. Do you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he asked, sitting upright in his berth and looking at Mark, with an expression of great earnestness not unmixed with wonder. Mark twisted his face into a tight knot, and with his head very much on one side, pondered upon this question, as if he felt it an extremely difficult one to answer. He was relieved from his embarrassment by Martin himself, who said, as he stretched himself upon his back again, and resumed the book he had been reading. But what is the use of my putting such a case to you, when the very essence of what I have been saying is, that you cannot by possibility understand it? Make me a little brandy and water cold and very weak, and give me a biscuit, and tell your friend, who is a nearer neighbor of ours than I could wish, to try and keep her children a little quieter tonight than she did last night, that's a good fellow. Apostrophe, Mr. Tapley set himself to obey these orders with great alacrity, and pending their execution, it may be presumed his flagging spirits revived, inasmuch as he several times observed, below his breath, that in respect of its power of imparting a credit to jollity, the screw unquestionably had some decided advantages over the dragon. He also remarked that it was a high gratification to him to reflect that he would carry its main excellence ashore with him, and have it constantly beside him wherever he went, but what he meant by these consolatory thoughts he did not explain. And now a general excitement began to prevail on board, and various predictions relative to the precise day, and even the precise hour at which they would reach New York, were freely broached. There was infinitely more crowding on deck, and looking over the ship's side than there had been before, and an epidemic broke out for packing up things every morning, which required unpacking again every night. Those who had any letters to deliver, or any friends to meet, or any settled plans of going anywhere or doing anything, discussed their prospects 100 times a day. And as this class of passengers was very small, and the number of those who had no prospects whatever was very large, there were plenty of listeners and few talkers. Those who had been ill all along, got well now, and those who had been well, got better. An American gentleman in the after cabin, who had been wrapped up in fur and oilskin the whole passage, unexpectedly appeared in a very shiny, tall, black hat, and constantly overhauled a very little valise of pale leather, which contained his clothes, linen, brushes, shaving apparatus, books, trinkets, and other baggage. He likewise stuck his hands deep into his pockets, and walked the deck with his nostrils dilated, as already inhaling the air of freedom which carries death to all tyrants, and can never, under any circumstances worth mentioning, be breathed by slaves. An English gentleman who was strongly suspected of having run away from a bank, with something in his possession belonging to its strong box besides the key, grew eloquent upon the subject of the rights of man, and hummed the Marseillaise hymn constantly. In a word, one great sensation pervaded the whole ship, and the soil of America lay close before them. So close at last, that, upon a certain starlight night they took a pilot on board, and within a few hours afterwards lay to until the morning, awaiting the arrival of a steamboat in which the passengers were to be conveyed ashore. Off she came, soon after it was light next morning, and lying alongside an hour more, during which period her very firemen were objects of hardly less interest and curiosity than if they had been so many angels, good or bad, took all her living freight aboard. Among them Mark, who still had his friend and her three children under his close protection, and Martin, who had once more dressed himself in his usual attire, but wore a soiled old cloak above his ordinary clothes, until such time as he should separate forever from his late companions. The steamer which, with its machinery on deck, looked, as it worked its long slim legs, like some enormously magnified insect or antediluvian monster, dashed at great speed up a beautiful bay. And presently they saw some heights, and islands, and a long, flat, straggling city. "And this," apostrophe said Mr. Tapley, looking far ahead, "is the land of liberty, is it? Very well. I'm agreeable. Any land will do for me, after so much water." Apostrophe apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.